I'm quoting him. He said, "Tony, I'm going to rape your wife. I'm going to rape all of your grandchildren." And he said, "The next time you go out of town, I'm going to kill them. And what the F are you going to do about it?" End quote. This has gone on for years now. Behind me are several witnesses who can attest to what was said. They have video. They have made numerous complaints to the police and the sheriff's department.
The key here is he throws at least five punches, one of them connecting with his right temple, bloodying the pastor before the pastor then engages him in defense. But of course, the pastor was arrested and put out on $25,000 bond. And it's an example that the public is ready and the public is angry for people to start defending themselves, not just culturally, but physically. We're not calling for offensive violence. We are calling for men to stand up. Pastor Tony Spell, thanks for being here with us.
If you were to get a cursory study of this book, 1,189 chapters, 66 books, and 31,102 verses, you will find out that good always wins over evil. The more they afflict us, the more we multiply and grow. You meant evil, but God meant good. Psalm 82 and 3, defraud not one another. Defend the poor and the needy. Come to the aid of the defenseless and the helpless. So what's happening in our society, Alex, is we're in the fourth turning. December of 1773, the Boston Tea Party sowed the seeds for the first turning. That's the Great American Revolution. Count 80 years to the beginning of the American Civil War. President James Buchanan would not make a ruling on the Dred Scott case. South Carolina secedes. You have the beginning of the American Uncivil War, several hundred thousand brothers against brothers, fathers against sons. You go another 80 years. We go to Black Tuesday, October 25th, 1929, the crash of the stock market. Sow the seeds for the Second World War. We're now in the fourth turning, Alex. No nation has ever survived four turnings. But what's happening is, instead of this turning and the great unraveling of society, politically we're corrupt, religiously we're corrupt, financially we're corrupt. We have all these problems in our society. So the mystery of iniquity, which means the sin of lawlessness, is at work in our society. Only he who now letteth will let until we're taken out of the way. So what wants to happen in society is the Lord says, I want you to beat your swords into plowshares. I want you to turn your spears into pruning hooks. But before we get there, before we get to the book of Isaiah chapter 2 and 4, what we have is Isaiah 59 and 14. Judgment is backwards. Truth is fallen in the streets. Equity cannot enter in. If you would depart evil, you are condemned for that. So something is backfiring in this. We're at an inflection point in our nation, Alex. We're at a flash point in our nation. So the more the news tries to control the narrative between this man and myself, the more they crop the videos and try to create this George Floyd moment. We want the beginning of the videos that led up to the altercation that they're not releasing. They're not giving, you know, the domestic terrorism. They're not giving the intimidation and threat of bodily harm of sexual abuse toward minors and children. We don't have just a right to defend ourselves. We have a duty and an obligation to defend ourselves. We are those voices that stand up for the poor and for the needy. Defend the defenseless. Provide for the common good.
I'm not calling for offensive violence, but I am calling for men and women and everyone to get trained, get prepared, to defend yourselves, because we're going into the fourth turning and a whole collapse of the old system, the rebirth of the new. The globals are trying to bring in their AI tyranny. That is going to fail. All things the devil set up in the end gobbles turn around and use for good.
This is an emergency transmission from FEMA Region 6 in occupied North America.
There is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time has come to choose sides. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Share the links now at Alex Jones Live.
Now in the 21st century, it's time to stand up and realize that we should not allow ourselves to be crammed into this rat maze. We should not submit to dehumanization. The 21st century is going to be a new century. Not the century of slavery. Not the century of lies, issues of no significance, and classism, and statism, and all the rest of the modes of control. It's going to be the age of humankind standing up for something pure, something right.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man.
I want freedom! That's what I want! And that's what you should want!
You're listening to Alex Jones.
The truth is out there in front of you, but they lay out this buffet of lies. I'm sick of it, and I'm not going to take a bite out of it!
AlexJonesLive.com. Tomorrow's news today.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. And look, I already had an appointment. I was already gonna do this. So it's a complete coincidence. I know what people are thinking. They're thinking you saw Owen Schroyer's new look and you had to have it for yourself. It's a coincidence, I swear. I was gonna do this anyway. I thought it was time for a new look. I thought it was time for a new style. I kind of like it, I gotta say. I could be in a rock band. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to War Room Live. If you're uncertain about why exactly I look so beautiful right now, you must not be on X. It's the biggest story. It remains the biggest story across X for the last few days. It, of course, is the makeover of one Owen Schroyer. Here's the thing. People are looking at it. They're saying, Owen, what have you done? What have you done? You were such a handsome young man. Why did you dye your hair like this? On the other hand, he's been at the top of the trending for the last 2 days. Is he a marketing genius? We don't know. It could be. That very well could be it. Here's the problem, though. Here's the issue when you're doing a stunt for marketing. I don't know if that, I assume that's what it was. You don't want the stunt to overshadow the thing you're saying. So what happened is, I guess Owen dyed his hair gold, blonde. Even more blonde. I thought he was blonde already, but I guess he's more blonde now. This sucks, man. How do you people do this? How do you have long hair? It's getting everywhere. It's beautiful, but it's inconvenient. It's also not beautiful, but it's very inconvenient. But he's been blonde for a few days, but he makes a video where I guess he's criticizing MAGA voters, and it goes totally viral, and everybody's posting. They're saying TDS. They're saying he looks like, you know, that Kathy woman, whatever her name is. Kathy Griffin. I saw this. I've seen a bunch of posts of it. Never actually watched the video. I'm not actually even sure what he said in the video. See, this is where the calculation breaks down. You don't want the stunt you're doing to cause so much scandal and conversation that they don't even listen to what you say in the video. So I think that's what's happened here. Personally, I kind of like it. I'm kind of into it. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But honestly, I'm for it. I'm for it. I like going mixing things up a little bit. Dyeing his hair. Trying a new look out. That's how you become the next Rush Limbaugh, I'm pretty sure. All right. We'll be serious. We'll get to the news. We'll actually do it. Would you take me more seriously if I look like... I mean, I look like I'm from Agartha. I mean, this is my Agarthan version, my Agarthan form. This is my Hyperborean counter identity. My secret identity is a Hyperborean prince. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the news. I think I could do it. I think I could pull it off. I think I could be president. I think this is the look I need. My fellow Americans, today we stand on the threshold of greatness. I think it would work. Could I pull it up into a ponytail? Okay, all right, we'll get serious, we'll get to the actual news, just having a little fun here, lots of people are portraying themselves in blonde wigs in solidarity with Owen Schroyer. I saw Alex Stein post something. It's pretty funny. Other people saying this is a cry for help. It's a mental breakdown he's having. I think everybody's taking a little bit too seriously. Harrison Smith, in the way I was meant to be. I was blonde when I was a kid, you know. I grew out of it. All right. We do have a lot. Okay. All right. I'll take it off. Hey, look. If Alex gets to do a Hitler mustache, I get to do a blonde wig, okay? You got to give me that, if nothing else. All right. Where do I put this? This is a nice wig, too. This is fancy. I'm going to give it to my wife. All right. You cannot have it. Sorry. One of the crew members that's not as blessed as some of us haired individuals. I'm trying to figure out how. No, you may not have the wig. The wig is going into storage for the next time I need it. All right. We got a lot of videos. We got a lot of articles to get to. But to be honest with you, the fact that for the last 2 days, at least for me, the number one trending topic on Twitter has been MAGA reacts to Owen Schroyer's new look. It represents a distinct lack of real news to actually be talking about. It means it's kind of a slow news day, couple of days. It's been a little bit slow, but we're going to tell you about what's actually going on. There is, of course, a lot of news happening these days, and we'll get into all of it. But honestly, I was running around trying to find a wig all this morning, so I mean, I don't even know what's happening. I don't even know what's happening. Kidding, of course. There's a lot of discussion about flock cameras we'll get into today. We're going to talk about the struggle that American politics is having with Israel right now. It's a problem everybody is facing, and it's a problem that it's sort of the, how would you put it? It's like the proto problem. It's like the problem that begets problems. It's the problem that stops us from solving other problems. It's the problem that takes so many resources, so much effort, that it denies those things to the real problems. It's the problem of problems, Israel. And here's a very simple way that this breaks down is Israel continues to, and literally every day, there is no day in which I do not see another video with another exploration of yet another Israeli crime against humanity, massacre of unspeakable horror, just on and on. 2 minutes before the show, I'm, you know, flipping through videos on X, and you get to one about a doctor in Gaza digging up a mass grave and finding a bunch of children with their hands tied behind their backs and their mouths filled with dirt, meaning they literally had their hands tied behind their back and were buried alive. So you see, there's repeated examples, daily, practically examples of Israel just behaving in the most heinous, despicable, violent, savage, brutal way you can possibly imagine. And it never ends. And they do it all with the permission of and only because they have the support of the United States of America. People in America don't like that. We just don't. We don't like being the subject to this tiny foreign nation. We don't like that tiny foreign nation seems to despise us. And if we don't do what they want, threatens to destroy us, that they're carrying out these massacres against innocent people, that just everything that you could say about Israel, like it's just an awful albatross around our neck. It is a poison that is now thoroughly integrated into our bloodstream and suspicable. The reason I'm saying all of this is because this is how a lot of Americans feel, and they feel very strongly about it. And it serves, and it's interesting because it's almost like any political perspective that you have, Israel can serve as like an avatar of that outrage. If you are a leftist and you hate white people and think that white supremacy is the most evil thing in the world, guess what? You're going to see Israel as white supremacists. Even though They are the diametrically opposed polar opposite of white supremacy or the Nazis. That doesn't matter. You're able to see it as that. You're able to see it as being tied in with the big corporations. If that's your big beef, if your big beef is like whatever it is, Israel can serve as an avatar for it. And it's not entirely inaccurate when that's the case. So you've got a huge, huge portion of Americans who are so outraged by this and who see this as such a betrayal of our fundamental values that it is in a lot of ways the only thing that really matters. Because again, it can be an avatar for everything else. So it's like, as a democratic socialist, as a left winger, you're going to look at two candidates, one that's a normal Democrat and one that's a progressive anti-Israel Democrat. And you're going to say that corporate Democrat, that more mainstream Democrat, the fact that they won't speak out against Israel proves to me that they're insincere, proves to me that they don't believe what they say, that they are captured by corporate interests, that they're secretly on the side of the imperialistic pigs, that they're a white supremacist, whatever it is. And the other person, even though I don't know anything about them, the fact that they're anti-Israel means at least they are less controlled than the pro-Israel person. This is the mindset. This is the decision-making process that's been leading to the victories of the socialists throughout the country. So people are looking around and they want to make their vote a protest vote against Israel. And again, this can be because of Epstein. This can be because of the Iran war, any number of reasons. The left embraces their radical edge. They give credence to and basically protect from criticism the more fringe elements of their movement. So they actually have the option. So when Democrats go to the polls, if they want to vote against Israel, they vote for the socialist. They vote for the communist. They vote for the DSA or one of their cohort. When the Republicans want to vote against Israel, unfortunately, the Jewish oligarchs that run the Republican Party have spent the last 2 years systematically eliminating even the slightest hint of anti-Israel sentiment from the Republican Party. So Republicans who want to vote against Israel have nobody to vote for. So if they're not hardline party ideologues, they're going to vote for the Democrats. So we have no option. So allowing Israel to take over the Republican Party and purge any of their opposition from the Republican Party has left Republicans at a distinct disadvantage. This would be strategically retarded if, in fact, the people now currently around Trump and running the Republican Party were, in fact, Republicans or conservative in any way. The big secret behind all of this is that all of the big tech Jewish billionaires that have hijacked Trump's administration at this point, including Miriam Adelson, you know, the Palantir crew, like they all universally are Democrats, are lifelong Democrats. Their belief system hasn't changed from being Democrats. So what do you think their response would be if you go up to them and you say, you know, you're destroying the Republican Party? Do you think they care? They don't like they are not Republicans. They're Democrats. So by taking over the Republican Party and using it as a vehicle to so humiliate Trump and disadvantage America, they're driving people into the Democratic Party, which may have been their plan the entire time, because they're Democrats, because they want people to vote for Democrats. They're not Republicans. They just took over the Republican Party because they could see that that was the most beneficial thing they could do for the state of Israel. This is all like right now I've got video after video of people, whether it's Ben Shapiro or anybody else, bemoaning the fact that Republicans, you know, won't vote for Israel firsters, or that the, you know, DSA communists are taking over. It's Israel. It's your fault. It's all your fault. This is all your fault. So I don't know what else to tell you. Like, I think they realize, I think they know it. I think they have to. I don't understand. It just, I don't know. These people are living in a fantasy world. And the more I look into it, the more I'm convinced 90% of the people out there acting like they don't know what's going on. They all just know exactly what's going on. There's no way they don't. And for some reason, they've decided that faking ignorance about the reality of what's going on is the best strategy. I can't imagine how it could possibly be. Let's go to, we've got Dana Lash here, breaking down the foreign psyop that's taken over Podcastistan, pushing Israel to the litmus test to divide Republicans. This is the most frustrating thing ever, because it is just so obviously literally the opposite. Israel has taken over the Republican Party, turned it entirely towards their interests, and forced this division on all of us. It could not be more obvious. They're still trying to like blame Qatar for any of this. And it is a ubiquitous thing. I know I've talked about it a bunch before, but it never stops coming up. The fact that the pro-Israel side does not have an argument. They cannot contend on the basis of facts. They cannot sell their point of view through language. They just can't do it, which is why the number one threat to freedom of speech is coming from the Jewish lobby right now, bar none, more than anybody else. And it's happening internationally, obviously, and they brag about it. So take it up with them. I got videos of that too, right? I mean, they're pretty open about the fact that they are trying to silence everybody because they can't argue. It's the same reason the left censored everybody for the last couple of years. They can't argue, they can't win, so they have to try to silence you or threaten you or come up with some ulterior motive that you have for telling the truth. You don't need an ulterior motive to tell the truth. You don't need an ulterior motive to say what's actually happening. It's only the people who are lying who need to, you know, have an ulterior motive to do so. And time again, and it's kind of frustrating, but it's also, I really don't know how to feel about it, but like, because really what I feel is like, man, you guys, like, this is evidence of your loss. So I post something that's just true, maybe a little exaggerated, but also totally true. It's negative about Israel or anything else. And the comments on my ex are just nothing but insults. And it's like, I don't know if you think this is convincing or what. Like, I don't know what the strategy is, but it just represents a total lack of intellectual seriousness or competence whatsoever. That I'll post something about, like, well, the founding of Israel, all the founders were a bunch of, communist terrorists that tried to overthrow the Russian government in 1905, got kicked out for their troubles, you know, went to Israel and tried it there. You know, it's like, that's just what happened. That's just what the facts of history are. And then every comment underneath is like, I didn't know you were gay. It's like, what are we talking about here? What are we talking about here? So they're here in this clip of Dana Lash, whatever her name is, you see the same thing where it's, they really can't even acknowledge that any objection you might have could be in any way valid. They have to try to discredit your motive. That means they're losing the argument. That means they don't have anything to actually say. Here's this Dana woman, trying to psychoanalyze why people could possibly be against a genocidal little, state of assassins in the Middle East. They must be getting money. Let's watch.
This is what's happening on the right, too, by the way. It's mostly an online phenomenon, but more and more it's carrying over into reality. I had a story where, let me pull this up. It was an Axios poll, and it was more and more, it says the Republican Party from Axios is starting to turn on Israel. And it gets into this, everything that Podcastistan talks about, right? Which is kind of the goal, It's the goal of it, right? That was the whole goal of the Podcast to Stand movement. It is a red-green alliance, and right, I think that the people...
Let's pause right there. So, okay, the term Podcast to Stand, the whole Podcast to Stand movement, this is obviously an attempt to, you know, discredit people with podcasts because they're threatened by people with podcasts, you understand? Fox News, CNN, they are all changing their programming to be more like podcasts because they're losing the popularity contest to podcasts. So they need to try to discredit podcasts as if because you haven't been approved of by a collection of producers and executives that all, by the way, just so happen to be dual citizens with Israel, but they're patriotic Americans and they have to approve of you. And only then will you, you know, be worthy of our consideration. Only when you're Mark Levin, you know, pudgy idiot speaking to nobody on a channel that, you know, people only watch if they lost the remote at the old folks' home. He's the one in charge. He's the responsible one, not these podcasters, she says, on a podcast that's not as popular as ours. And then Podcastistan, as if Islam has anything to do with my personal, righteous, purely American opposition to the despicable, incomprehensible, retarded, vicious, small-minded, vengeance-driven mindset of the Israelis. The pathetic collective punishment smallness. That's the only way I can describe it. Spiritually small, spiritually pathetic, groveling, deceiving, devious. See, I think a lot of these things are true about the Muslims as well, but we're talking about Israel right now. We're talking about my opposition to it, how it comes from a pure and righteous 100% American standpoint that has nothing to do with Islam. See, they can't actually tell me that I'm wrong about that. I mean, they do. They lie like they breathe. It's amazing. So they'll lie to me and say, well, you're wrong about that. There's no way that this is, but that's the only, they can't actually confront the things we have proof for and explain why they're justified. And it's not like there's just one. It's not like, well, there was one UN report that they can try to discredit and that's it. It's like there's 100 UN reports. There's 20 billion videos. It actually just went up today, an archive of the genocide. I believe it's archive. Let me find it. Archive.genocide. I want to give you the right one just so I don't send you to the wrong place. Archivegenocide.com, I believe. Israel Exposed, archivegenocide.com. We can't even show the website. It's too gruesome, but it's thousands and thousands and thousands of videos proof. So when somebody who is a Christian, who is a white European descendant, American, lifelong American, Mayflower descendant, eighth generation Texan, who has never even been inside of a mosque, like, I don't know what you're talking about. But when I, American, have an opposition to the unchristian, the brutal, the vicious, like I said, just unwarranted, just the un-Western, un-European behavior of the Israelis, they have to try to claim I'm Muslim or something so that other Christian Europeans don't start thinking, hey, wait, why do we support Israel? So they want you to think, well, I'm not a Muslim, so I must support Israel. No, you're an American. You should never support a country that engages in ethnic cleansing, genocide, murder of innocent people on a massive scale. Well, we'll get back to it on the other side, but stop. You have to stop now.
And a microscopic tag being planted in a person's body to track his every movement. There's actual discussion about that.
And often they're things you don't know what to do with. UBOs, they're called unidentified bright objects.
Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior?
Who's got the brain that's going to be most susceptible to a particular kind of manipulation?
So the point is, they've been obsessed with this. It's going on. The COVID shots implanted the matrix, graphene oxide to grow. It's now being scanned. It's now being read. They were putting chips in the troops 30 years ago. The revolution's already here, is what you're saying, Jesse Beltran.
These are just chips on a size that you can no longer see. They're nano size. One's 2,000 times the width of a human hair. The graphene oxide, the silicon-based materials that have been in, we know for a fact that they were in the mRNA. We know that Dr. Ido Bachelet signed a contract with Pfizer in 2015 when he did that TEDMed talk with a trillion robots in a 1cc syringe, and how he teaches his students how to, once they're in a host, how to control them with RF emissions.
And you heard Collins saying 21 years ago that, oh yeah, when we're doing scans, we find all these chips, these bright objects, ha ha ha, wonder to put them there. But as you said, you've been doing this 20 years, and about 10 years ago, you began to go away, not seeing chips anymore, but just liquid emulsion nanotech. Here you are 6 months ago or more, scanning me. Let's go to Alex Jones getting scanned.
So if you put that camera in there, you see how it says probably silicone? That means it's an electronic component. And it's not unusual to find that in the posterior ear area.
So wait, I got a higher reading than him?
No, his was higher than yours.
Okay,
yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, but you did get a positive reading there. So you are getting that at the, you know, base of the neck is what we typically see. Scapula area. What we're finding is after post-COVID, this is very typical. We're completely bombarded by this stuff.
From your own research, there are compounds naturally in nature that just do absolutely incredible things that will draw out these type of things. But you guys have come up with one with scientists that adds these special sea minerals in that then even drags it out even more. And so I have been taking this, the dreams I've had, my skin, my health, what it's done is absolutely insane. Get masterpiece.com. Matt Hazen, tell us what this does, and people can get 10% off when they follow the URL, getmasterpiece.com, or use promo code Alex when you're there on the site, because this is really special.
Zeolite is an incredible mineral that is known as what's called the master binder. And what that means is it's known to pick up every type of forever chemical, toxin, toxic heavy metal there is, including fluoride. So when you see charcoal or carbon or clays for binders, you don't see that they will pick up fluoride. Zeolite's different. Zeolite also gets the fluoride. That's a very big deal. It is great at removing these environmental toxins from our body. Masterpiece is the highest grade sea mineral plasma solution. It is basically isotonic, the same mineral composition as your blood plasma. So the sea minerals are being carried in by the nanometer, sub-nanometer size clinoptilolite zeolite. And once the toxin hits the zeolite, it releases and displaces the mineral. People don't feel bad. There's no normal detoxing reaction.
Everybody needs to go to getmasterpiece.com. You get 10% off by using that URL automatically when you go. There's promo code Alex as well. Getmasterpiece.com.
Back, folks. Again, you don't need ulterior motive to tell the truth. You don't need a reason to be a human being and explain what's actually going on. And there is a term for this, and I'm blanking on it right now, but it's something like, you know, motivation inversion, something like that. Motivation questioning, you know, whatever it is. But it's just that. It's, you know, somebody tells the truth, and you try to judo flip them around and go, well, why are you saying this? Well, what do you think the point is of saying this exactly? It's like, well, it's true. That's the point. So again, there are certain sort of code words you can identify. When people use them, you know that this person is insincere. They're not to be trusted. They're working off a script that they likely don't understand, and ironically are almost certainly being paid to. It's funny, while we were watching the Dana Lash segment, the crew was saying, you know, how much is she getting paid for this? And it's like, she probably is. She probably is getting paid to promote this. It's the ultimate irony. that there are people out there that are paid to tell you that other people are paid to tell the truth. DOJ asked to reveal names of Israeli influencers in the U.S. I mean, I would bet you anything Dana Loesch is on Salem. Is she on Salem Media? She seems like the type. Tell me if the crew can find if Dana Loesch is on Salem Media, they're the ones that just registered as foreign agents. But let's go back to Dana Loesch, because again, I'm just pointing out that they have no argument against us. They have no actual point to make. They can call you an anti-Semite. They can call you a Muslim. They can denigrate your podcast, but they have podcasts that are just less popular. So you don't have to listen to them. Like, they don't actually believe what they're saying, but we do have to listen to them to know what they want everybody else to believe, to understand what is intended by their lies and mischaracterization. So let's go back to Dana Loesch.
It's the goal of it, right? That was the whole goal of the Podcast to Stand movement. It is a red-green alliance.
And oh, yeah, that was the part I wanted to comment on.
Some of the people, I think, are...
You can tell she's reading off a script that she doesn't understand, because that doesn't make any sense. The red-green alliance is a term that's been phrased to talk about the marriage between communists and Islam, far-left progressives and Islam. And, of course, the irony is that these two organizations, these two identities, are in deep and abiding opposition to each other, and yet ally with each other, because they both are opposed to Western culture, white people, Europeans, capitalism, all that good stuff. But Podcastistan, what she's trying to do is discredit the quote-unquote woke right, woke Reich, who is not communist and is not Muslim, but somehow she's trying to tie in podcasters not liking Israel to being communists that are aligned with Muslim. It doesn't make any sense, but it doesn't have to, or she doesn't even realize it doesn't. She's trying. She's really trying, but she's not good at it. Which, again, if and only if she understood what she was saying, she wouldn't say that. Do you understand what I mean? Like, if she's saying a red-green alliance, she's supposed to be talking about Islam and the left, but she's actually trying to talk about the right to invoke the red-green alliance. What I'm saying is she's got all of these buzzword talking points in her head. They're getting mixed up. They're getting jumbled. She's invoking them at the incorrect time because she doesn't actually understand what she's saying. She's just trying to pack in as many talking point buzzword slogans as she can in a short amount of time period as she can. So back to Dana Loesch. Confusedly talking about how right-wingers are actually Muslim communists. Sorry, Dana, go on.
Are tools of it. And then I think others are just desperate to supplant their aging cable news audience with Zoomerwaffen. That's what this is. Like, the cable news rejects that decided to adopt the podcast format and get in and become Podcastistan, they're trying to supplement their audience is aging out. They're cable news people. And, you know, I mean, you're talking about upper 50s going into their 60s, these cable hosts that are now podcasting.
So I'm confused. Wait. So the cable news watchers are the old people that are no longer relevant. So I'm confused. So Podcastistan, I guess, is the young people. So people that are old. Again, it doesn't even make sense what she's saying. I think what she's trying to say is that people are saying things they don't believe because it's popular with young people right now. That's obviously not the case with us. But she's trying to portray podcast as illegitimate while also talking about the fact that the elderly, you know, cable news demographic is dwindling to nothingness. So how can cable news be this big, prestigious, important thing? Podcasts are the sideshow, when podcasts are where the popularity is and everybody from cable news is trying to move into podcasts so they can maintain relevance. She's reporting on herself. This is what they're like. What is the Dana Show? What is this? Where does this air? Is it a pod? Looks like a podcast. Doesn't look like a television production. Also, her logo is ineligible or not legible. So there's that. Just wanted to point that out in the meantime. So what even is her show? Is her show on cable? She's got a Stanley tumbler on the desk. That's cool. What's actually happening? Yeah, the crew's pointing out. You can see her monitor. You can see. I mean, this is not a cable show. This is a podcast. So what is she talking about? But again, it doesn't even matter what her, you know, what she's trying to. Her only point is discredit enemies of Israel. That it's like, you know, imagine like putting into a robot the command like discredit enemies of Israel. You might get a response. It's like, do I need to be truthful? Do I need to put? And it's like, no. Don't worry about any of that stuff. Just discredit them. Discredit them in any way that you want. Say that they're, you know, only saying this because they want to remain popular, or say they're only saying it because they want to be on the edge and they want to not be popular. The mainstream is going this way and they're trying to be edgy. Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter which way that you go. Say that they're doing it because, you know, they're desperate to try to beat out the cable news people, or say that it's because they're desperate to try to make podcasts a real thing. It doesn't matter to them. It's just discredit the motivation so you don't have to deal with the argument. Oh, people on the right wing are making cogent, accurate criticisms of the state of Israel and America's, well, how would you put it? Marriage to them? Slavery under them? You can't actually argue against it. You can't actually tell us that we're wrong. So just say they're only saying this because they're trying to stay popular. Just undercut and try to undermine and discredit the motivation of telling the truth so that people don't listen to the truth. This is pathetic. And try to just embrace it, Dana. Just embrace it. You're getting old. Everybody does. Stop trying to prevent the march of time. You look plastic, and it's not even as attractive as a wrinkly natural face. I'm just saying, you seem to be enveloped in a sort of bubble of unreality where you're trying desperately to push back against things that are inevitable, things that are unstoppable, things that are in fact to be embraced as a natural progress of time. So the kids are not falling for the propaganda. They don't like a bunch of mass murderers who rape children to use the blackmail to control America. They're just not into that. Get with the times, old lady. Okay? It was real cool when you were, you know, flinging a gun about, but when are we going to use them? But the question is, why did we have them in the first place? Seems to me like it was to prevent a tyrannical and or foreign takeover of our government. And it seems like a foreign power has taken over our government and is becoming tyrannical through our judicial system or our governmental system overall. So when do we use the guns, Dana? When do we use the guns? Let's go back to Dana Lacia, and she goes on and on. We won't listen to her for too much longer. But again, I just want to emphasize and just remind you, because the thing is, if people don't know what's going on. Like, I do constantly try to put myself in the mindset of like, what would it take for somebody to watch this and just go, yeah, that's what's happening. And there's one secret ingredient, and it's ignorance. If this is the only information you're getting, then I can understand why you'd believe it. And that's why they desperately need full spectrum domination so that everybody that normies are listening to are all saying the same thing, because normies are only tuning in to Fox News and their affiliates. So they're affiliated networks. So let's go back to Dana Lacia, where again, I'm just trying to emphasize here. She's talking absolute nonsense. Her only point of any of this, like if she was more honest, she would just sit here and go, don't listen to people who disagree with me. Just don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. That's all she's saying. She's just saying that over and over again. Don't listen to them because they're just trying to be popular. And actually, they're just podcasters. They don't even matter. But actually, it's just like all these different. All she's trying to say is, please stop listening to them. Please stop hearing what they're saying. Just listen to me. Just stop listening to them. It's like anybody telling you to stop listening to somebody else, but can't actually say why, can't actually explain how they're wrong, is a tyrant themselves. Let's go back to the lady.
And they have got to figure out a way to boost their audience, to propagate their audience, to supplement it.
And even though we're more popular.
That's what they're doing. That's why they're bending to the Zimmerwoff and clickbait.
Clickbait, sure.
And so they're buying into it. But Axios, which I normally don't like to bring up, but I think this is the only thing that I've even seen that discusses it. It looks at Republicans, according to a number of surveys, particularly younger ones, have turned on Israel. They've bought into the Hamas propaganda about Gaza, right? They completely bought into it. They said that.
What?
The one thing I don't like, and this is how you can tell it's from a leftist perspective, is because the piece says that Netanyahu offset that kind of contributed to collapsing Democrat support by cultivating Republicans. No, Democrats decided to become so far left. It's horseshoe theory now. So you have Podcastistan, which is basically just the left. It's horseshoe theory.
Amazing.
They're just the left.
Oh, it's just incredible, political insight from this lady. I mean, it's like you think you understand something, then you hear Dana really break it down. You know, I mean, how are we supposed to argue against that? Podcastistan, they're just like the left now. It's like, what? Every day I wake up a little bit farther right. A little bit farther right. Now, it's been going on for a couple of years now. But that's fine. Call me a leftist. I mean, it's just the most pathetic attempt to discredit the correct position that I've ever heard. And this is just obviously a very pathetic and ineffective strategy. It's not working. And it, again, just doesn't make any sense. And it's actually kind of interesting because there was a very long time, the left and woke Reich, which are exactly the same thing, both think they can use Islam to help mainstream socialism. It's a belief one can have only if they're ignorant. I mean, 3 minutes of Tucker Carlson praising Islam. He's praising Islam for 3 whole minutes. I bet I could find 3 hours of Tucker Carlson praising Israel. He's much more effusive in his praise of Israel. It doesn't seem to matter, though, does it? Like, if you are a dedicated pro-Israel person all the time, even if you couch every single one of your criticisms of Israel in terms of, I want what's best for Israel, and here's why I think this is not going to be the best for Israel, which you would think would be, you know, an appropriate form of argumentation if you actually do care about Israel. Like, you know, we've been saying this entire time, like we've been saying since the whole war began, this is actually bad for Israel. I'm not against it because it's bad for Israel, but it also is bad for Israel that any of this stuff is happening. But even if you couch all of your criticism like that, even if you are effusive and overabundant in your praise for Israel, you're still anti-Israel if you don't agree with absolutely everything that they do. Meanwhile, if you merely acknowledge anything good Islam has ever done, you are therefore an Islamic agent. It's like, if he's an Islamic agent, then he's more so an Israeli agent. You understand that, right? But it never goes that way. The thing I'm sick of is just like everything being just a game for these people. That's really how I see it. Is it's all just this like weird game they're playing that has nothing to do with reality, where they're just, it's, because I could almost see participating in this in a game scenario where it's like, you're going to go out, you know, like go try to convince somebody as part of the game of something ridiculous. Like, they know it's not true. You know, it's not true. You don't even care if they think it's true. It's just, you just have to achieve this goal to win the game. And to them, winning the game is just tricking everybody into letting you do whatever you want. And as long as you can do that, you win the game and there are no rules. Everything's allowed. Lying's allowed. Discrediting is allowed. And the weirdest thing is there's so many other people playing this game that they like get what you're doing and they go along with it. And ironically, just like everything, when you start talking about Israel, you start talking about, you know, the Israeli influence on our politics, everything gets inverted to the maximum degree. And everything that these people are doing is exactly what the left does. The left has all of these tactics. You want to talk about the woke right. This is the woke right. It's when you take a honest, truthful, and meaningful statement, and you extrapolate that out to actually this is evidence of your deep-seated and incurable hatred of something, right? If I say, on average, black people commit more crimes than white people, okay? If there's a little check and an X, the check mark would go off. Ding, that's true. It's true. It's accurate. That is a true and accurate reading of reality. How does the left respond to that? You hate black people. And if I say, Israel is a bunch of psychotic murderers that are committing genocide out in front of everybody. Ding, I'm right. It's true. We all see it. But that must mean I hate Jews, right? Because they're woke. Because these people are woke. These people are, and again, you can see, like, people might be watching me and be like, what the hell is he talking about? I have no idea what he's talking about. But you know what it's like when it's the left, don't you? When the left does this exact type of thing. Yes, the Pentagon stays quiet. AP reconstructs a U.S. strike that killed over 100 Iranian children. For Israel, of course. But you get it when the left does it. Right? If I'm like, hey, I would like the border to be closed because they drive up house prices and they all go on welfare and it costs us money. Like, there's a lot of really obvious and good reasons. But you can't actually have good, simple, truthful, righteous reasons for thinking something. Not according to the left. To the left, actually, you're just a racist that hates brown people, and you're just sort of laundering that view through the acceptable position of I'm just against anti-immigrants, right? You understand that strategy because you see it all the time on the left. This is just what the Jewish lobby's doing. This is, I mean, they're leftist also, right? All the people, the big tech people that came over to Trump, they're all lifelong Democrats, the Alan Dershowitz types who write letters saying, I'm still a Democrat. All of my beliefs are 100% thoroughly progressive, except I'm now a registered Republican because of how they treat Israel. There's a lot of them like that. And just like the left, like they all get it too. Yes, you're all playing this little game, right? They're all pretending not to know about whatever it is, black crime rates or, you know, transgender people in the bathroom. Like, it's that pretend ignorance. It's that, like, what? You think trans people would go into a bathroom to, like, look at it? That's crazy. It's like, you know that's not crazy. You know it's not crazy. We all know that we're right. But when you see the left, you see a bunch of people pretending not to know, pretending, you know, to be moderates when they all know they're extremists, pretending to be proud Americans when we know they want to tear this country down. They all pretend and they all know they're all pretending, which is why they are able to do it. Like, it's actually almost a sophisticated method because, you know, typically, you know, if a left winger expresses something not left wing, you know, they have to have total ideological capture. You say one thing that's wrong, the left wing will tear you apart. Unless you're like a proven left winger and they know what you're doing, they all understand the strategy. Then when you come out and say something that isn't as far left wing, the rest of the left wing goes, that's fine. He's saying that. He's just saying it because he has to. We know how he really feels. So they all get it. They all are playing along. They all understand. Sometimes we say things we don't believe, but that's just because the normies don't understand us. And you know, we have to serve them some red meat sometimes just so we can get the power we need to do what we actually want to do. It's the same. It's the same thing here, which is why it's so frustrating, why it's hard to talk about and contend with, is because we're just dealing with a bunch of nothing, a bunch of nonsense liars all lying to each other and agreeing about the lie. And then putting that on TV so the audience sits there and goes, well, they can't both be lying. It's like, it's just lie upon lie upon lie. And it goes on and on. Let's go to this Ben Shapiro clip, if we can. He obviously is a main figure in all of this. The deception, the manipulation, the Pied Piperism of leading conservatives down a path to their own destruction. It's despicable, but pretty obvious, if I may say so. And guys, do you all know the Ben Shapiro clip? I don't see it on the list here, but I do have it printed out. Ben Shapiro has released an emergency warning to all Americans, saying that if Democrats win the midterms, they will immediately investigate, impeach, and attempt to prosecute Donald Trump. Here he is.
If they were to gain control of the Senate, they would move to impeach President Trump. There's an outside shot. They could even get a conviction in a Senate split between a Democratic majority and maybe some rogue Democratic senators. They, of course, will stymie any effort to refund our military. to restock THAADs, Patriot missiles, to build the new kind of military we need to actually challenge our enemies in the world. And again, there is, as I say, the possibility that President Trump gets impeached in the House and then even convicted in the Senate. That's all what happens if the Democrats win the Senate. So there's like very, very serious stuff. And that sets it up for 2028, because if Democrats control the Senate.
Well, maybe he shouldn't have gone to war with Iran then, Ben. You ever think about maybe he shouldn't have gone to war with Iran, and maybe he should have released the Epstein files. Maybe then he'd win the midterms and we wouldn't have to worry about him being impeached. Maybe if he'd focused on deportations and getting rid of DEI and transgenderism, maybe if he did the stuff that he campaigned on that the American people want, you wouldn't have to worry about him getting impeached, because nobody would want to impeach him. Nobody on our side, at least, because he would actually be doing what he's supposed to be doing and having tangible beneficial effects for the American people. You know what I'm going to say if they impeach Donald Trump this time? I'm going to say, make sure you don't let his kids away also. And, you know, his kids have been enriching themselves too. Don't let them get away with it. I mean, the impeachment's a good start, but we've got major corruption at play here. Don't stop with the president. You've got to keep going. If you didn't want him impeached, if you didn't want him failing and ruining the Republicans' prospects, not just in this round, but God only knows what happens next. No, in fact, I do know what happens next. I know what happens next because the Democrats keep saying it's what they're going to do. What happens next is motivated by the outrageous activity of the Trump administration, the second go around, motivated by his obsequious, desperate loyalty to a foreign murderous state and their cabal of collaborators here in the United States trying to enslave us all under a Palantir global system. I'm trying to calm down. I'm going to take a deep breath here. But I can't be the only one, right? I cannot be the only one who sees how absurd all of this. These people get Donald Trump into the war in Iran. These people completely derail his entire administration. Now, these very same people are telling you it is an existential crisis that the Democrats might win now. You did this. This was you. This is your fault. I don't know what else to tell you. He's like, they're not going to vote to refill our THAAD system. Why do our THAAD systems need to be refilled, Ben? Why are we in such a desperate strait right now? We don't even have the ammunition we would need to defend ourselves. Why not, Ben? Well, what did we waste all of that ammunition doing? Why do the American people now need to spend tens of billions of dollars refilling missile batteries? What happened, Ben? Where did they all go? You did this. The anti-Trump coalition that took over his administration and ruined the Republican Party for the foreseeable future, because you know what's going to happen. Democrats get into power. They open up the border and give away citizenship. That's it for the Republicans forever.
In the forbidden mountains of ancient China, Alex Jones, the warrior, returns to complete his training. His fists thunder against globalist lies. Each board he shatters destroys another New World Order deception. Forged in the fire of truth, he trains day and night. Iron palm strikes smashing through Big Pharma's walls. He prepares for the ultimate demon Fentanyl the Dragon.
Oh, hello, Alex. It is I, Fentanyl the Dragon, your arch nemesis.
Fentanyl, you dare to return and face me?
Visit the AlexJonesStore.com today.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
America's worth saving. I seen this country build towns where there was nothing but dust and empty sky. Men worked sun up to sundown, built roads, railways, farms, and cities with their bare hands. People came here with nothing in their pockets and somehow carved out a life worth living. That's what made this place different. Not power, not money, freedom. And as long as there's still a few hard-headed Americans standing tall, America's story ain't over yet.
You can feel the noose tightening all across America. Fight the enemy before they hang freedom itself.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.